them straps that you're wrestling with and all that. Now you know how them women feel. Well, I mean, you know. And so anyhow, hey, good job all the way around. We appreciate that very much. And so, by the way, let me take your Bible, if you will, the book of Psalm. Let me get this button turned on. Psalm chapter 20. Psalm chapter 20. That it? Yeah. If you find the place and you're able to stand, here's the good news. I used to preach on the radio. I know how to quit in 15 minutes. As you look there in Psalm chapter number 20, notice verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, in the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart tonight. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We've enjoyed the good music, the good instruments, the good songs of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. And so anyhow, my wife's going to be watching this right here. Happy anniversary coming up, by the way. And so anyhow, let me just say to you, I want to preach a little bit about help from the house of God. Now, you know, in the Bible, whenever you begin to look into it, chapter number 19 talks about the word of the Lord. And he talks about it being magnified. I want to tell you, there ought to be a magnification about the word of the Lord. It ought to be real and it ought to be large in our life. And let me say to you that whenever the apostle said, the men said, he must increase and I must decrease. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, he ought to be the one that stands out in your life. You know, the Bible said that the law of the Lord is perfect. Anytime somebody gives you something, chapter, book, and verse from the word of the Lord, it'll be perfection. Make no mistake about it. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts and maybes. God's not guessing at it. God doesn't feel like this is all right. It'll be a fact that comes from heaven. And make no mistake about it, dear friend, you'll find it's going to be perfection. I'll tell you something else about the word of the Lord. It not only is perfect, it's pure. I'll tell you what it'll do is it'll make you get a hold of your own house that you live in. And I'm not talking about the one that you have to take the key and unlock. I'm talking about the one you're living in. And it'll make you want to clean up the corners in it. It'll make you want to somehow or another do a little bit better housekeeping and purify things up round about you. Not only that, let me say to you that in the word of the Lord, it's a preferred thing. I was thinking about whenever you look into these passages here, is that God's word ought more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, the psalmist said, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honeycomb. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that there's protection in this book that we're talking about. You know, it'll keep you from going astray. I used to have somewhere, and I've probably still got it in my repertoire, and there's somebody that's got a Bible, and they're saying something like, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's the truth of the matter. In this lesson that we're looking at and talking about, let me tell you, is that the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes from the blessed word of the Lord. Now, it's the only book that'll be accepted in the sight of the Lord. It's the only book that'll be given with his stamp of approval on it because it's his word. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you're going to find out what this book will do is it'll put you in tune with God. That means whenever somebody's preaching the word of the Lord, teaching the word of the Lord, you can relate to it because you're in tune with the word of the Lord. You know, I was looking at these. You better be in tune with him. It won't matter if you're in tune with anybody else or not, but you'd better be in tune with God. In this lesson that we're looking at, I'm talking about not just going through a prayer ritual, but I'm talking about real heaven sent, God-given prayer that be offered unto God that he'll hear and that he'll listen to one of these days. I don't know about you. Every now and again, I realize it. I need more than just a little talk with Jesus. Sometimes I need something a lot more serious than that. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, not only ought to be in tune with God, but you're going to find out you're in trouble in the world. I don't care where you go. This lying, cheating, conniving, cussing world we're living in, make no mistake about it, you're going to find there's trouble out there in the world. You ever go somewhere and all of a sudden, you know, minding your own business, and here comes some drunk, some dope head, some whoremonger, some whore. And I'm telling you, you can realize it real quick. I get in trouble in this place real quick. So you try to get your business done because you're not welcome in that Baptist church. Oh, you thought I was talking about someplace else? Let me tell you, the devil doesn't care where he causes a ruckus with you. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's trouble that's out there in the world. That's why you ought to be in tune with God. In fact, is you'll find that in verse number 1, he is our defense. Make no mistake about it. You can rest in him. You can rely in him. You can rely upon the word of the Lord. You know, over there in the book of Job, chapter number 14, and about verse number 1, he said, man that is born of a few days is full of trouble. And boy, that tells me right off that we need some help. And I'm not talking about just help off the cuff. I'm talking about help from heaven. I want to say thirdly that, if you will, please, is that in verse number 2, we need help. When you come down to the house of God, if you can't get help down here, where are you going to get it? You're not going to. I got to tell you right now, when you come to the sanctuary and to the house of God and the scriptures are being preached and read, you can get some help. The saints of God ought to be able to help you. But let me tell you, even whenever they go a little nuts, rely on the word of the Lord. Let me tell you what the Bible said on 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Don't turn there. But the Bible talks about verse 24 and 5 that we are tempered together so that we can have care one for another. You know, every now and again, do you catch yourself praying like this? Because I have too often. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe you. I've asked the Lord and said, Lord, help me till my dying breath to be faithful unto thee. I promise you right now, we had better be able to get some help that from God down at the house of God. And if you can't, you're not going to get help. I want to say to you that in verse number 4, we didn't read it tonight, but in verse number 4 of that same chapter, you're going to find we get help from the heart of God. Do you realize and know that God's business is to not only provide salvation full and free for us, but to put us in tune with him, with his will, with his work, with his word? I want to tell you something. His counsel is in his word. I was thinking about when you begin to look into it, is that you're going to find out that in verse 5 and 6, there's going to be help from the hand of God, rejoicing in his salvation. Now, do you know what the heart of God is? If you're not saved, the heart of God is for you to get saved. He's wondered what's the matter with you. He's provided salvation full and free. You don't want it? Then you something's wrong with you. You're in for a rude awakening. God intends for you and I to be saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. I can tell you what he'll do is that he'll work on your sight and make you look right and talk right and walk right and act right and spit white and so forth and on. In other words, somebody's going to say, well, what do you mean spit white? You're not a snuff dipper, are you? You're not a tobacco chewer? Now, if you are, and I mean, I don't want to beat you up about it and all that right there, because I know a lot of people that did. I used to smoke right before I got saved, and I quit after I got saved. And somebody said, well, will smoking send you to hell? Certainly not, but it'll make you smell like you've already been there. Burnt smell, getting it? You're getting the picture there? No. I want to say, as you will to you, that when we offer a testimony before the Lord, it ought to be a testimony that others can see. It ought to be a testimony that others can hear. You know, I've seen people that claim to know the Lord, and you couldn't tell it by looking at them. You couldn't tell it by listening to them. Something's going to be radically different in your life when you got saved by the grace of God. Others could see that whatever happened, they couldn't explain it, but you were different than you had ever been before. I want to tell you, as you begin to look into this lesson here, you know, if a man say this and says that, and doesn't matter what he's saying, if it doesn't line up with what the word of the Lord said, God said he'll be found to be a liar. Some are trusted in chariots or trusted in their implements of war, but you and I are trusting in the name of the Lord. I want to say to you that you're going to stand and fall in this life, and your stand or your falling is going to depend on who you trust and what you're trusting in and how much you believe him. I guarantee you he'll hold you up and you'll have stability in your life. And let me say to you in verse number 9, he said, "Save, Lord, let the king hear us." I don't just need to go through the motion of prayer. I need to be able to pray in a manner that'll get a hold of God and that'll get a touch from God upon it. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out the heart of God is this right here. Every time it beats, is for your salvation. It's for you being able to trust him. You know, before I ever got saved, I had already been down the aisle and I'd already made a profession. And I already knew how to quote Romans 10, 9 through 13 and this and that, you know. I already knew what it was like to lead a song in church. I already knew what it was like to be in a Sunday school class and so forth and on. And as a young lad, I had made that profession. But it was not until that I got older that God began to deal with me about my soul's condition. And at the age of 24, God showed me myself exactly like he saw me. You know, I remember whenever I got saved and I'd go to witnessing to people and, "Oh, Dennis, hey, man, listen, I've known you all your life. Surely you were all right already." No, I wasn't all right already. I'm all right now. And the reason being is because of the fact is that I'd made a profession but didn't do anything but go through the motions, didn't know. But boy, when the Holy Ghost of God came knocking on my heart's door, I knew that I had a visitor from heaven. And I was never going to be the same. I was sitting there on that pew, and I remember looking down at my brother-in-law, who was just a renegade of a person, who needs the Lord till this day. And I remember looking down that way thinking, somebody on this pew, God is trying to get a hold of. And by the way, it was me that he was trying to get a hold of. And I'm so glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. I want to say to you in closing that if you will, please, I know what it's like in verse number 9, whenever it says, "Save, Lord, save." I guarantee you God's in the saving business. Now, let's get ready to close with this thought. While you sit here tonight, what have you done with Christ? What has Christ done with you? See that? May you never get to the place that God said, "That's it. Their last opportunity." No, no. May that never be a case. May you finally come to realize that, no, that he's God, and besides him, there is none else. I can tell you right now, I walked down that aisle and took that preacher by the hand and told him that I wanted to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior and all that. I went home, I knew something else was going on. And a week later, I came forward again, told that same preacher, "I believe God's calling me to preach." "Well, Dennis, you just got saved last week." I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I did. I believe all preachers ought to be saved first." He said, "If you can do anything else but preach, don't do it." I said, "Preacher, I think that if I would not preach, that I must die." That's the real calling upon it. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that it was a rather large church. I want to say the name of it was Alta Vista Baptist. Of course, that preacher's done since long. Brother Maxwell, dead and gone, I'm sure. He could play an organ? That one of those, that back and forth? He could play and sing? Huh? Accordion, whatever it is, you got it. And he could play that and sing, but let me tell you right up front is that he couldn't be what he wanted to be, and he couldn't preach the way he should have been preaching. I can't say the way he wanted to, because if you want to and you're a preacher, you just got to go ahead and preach whatever the word of the Lord said. Like it, love it, lump it, leave it, that's the word of the Lord. I want to tell you, you know, I said this morning, and I'm done. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes to 8. If you hadn't got that, well, give me a minute. You can camp out around my pond sometime, that septic pond, but I wouldn't recommend eating nothing out of it. I said this morning, I was talking about, you know, the Bible said that God made this after their kind, that after their kind, this after their kind. Now, I don't mean that ugly. I'm just trying to tell you this is what God's plan and God's mind is. I was sitting there watching a newscast, and wouldn't you know it, behold, one of my favorite black people in all the world came on. His name is Morgan Freeman. I like to watch him. He's a good actor. And not only that, but you'll find out he's honest. And here's what he said. All these people here in the United States of America are running around bragging about that we had a black president by the name of Barack Obama. I got news for you, he said. Barack is not a Negro. He's not a black man. His mother's a white woman. So if you want to say anything about him, say that we had the first mixed race president. You won't hear that. Listen, in the average Baptist church uptown, they're as quiet as you are. See that? Now there's a man right there that no doubt that believes in God and believes in right. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not going to tell you about, you know how big Michelle Obama's foot is? She wears 11 and a half. Out of 11 and a half. Right underneath that, the only reason why I know it is because I saw it today, but right underneath that was Oprah Winfrey. And you got to keep in mind now, Oprah, she's going to have a pretty good, stable standing because, well, let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. Bless your word to every heart tonight. We thank you for this good music, these good singers, these good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed today. Now, I pray your blessings now upon all these requests that have been mentioned. Bless my dear wife in this upcoming test. Lord, I pray you'd save the sinner, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.